Hello, and welcome to Good News Gathering. If you enjoy this lesson, we invite you to check out Good News Gathering at one of our Sunday services. Visit www.goodnewsgathering.org for service times and directions to our ministry center. Now let's join teaching pastor Jeff Lyle as he presents today's lesson.
His name was Desmond Thomas Doss. He was born on February the 7th, 1919, in Lynchburg, Virginia. His mother worked in a shoe factory. His father, a carpenter, was a World War I veteran who suffered from what today we know as post-traumatic stress syndrome, or PTSD. He had seen firsthand the horrors of war and had lost friends in the fighting in France. In those days, therapy was unknown for veterans. Desmond's father resorted to easing his pain with alcohol. His mother was a devout Seventh-day Adventist who did her very best to raise her children in the fear of the Lord, while at the same time shielding them from their father's alcoholism. But Desmond and his brother Hal were rough and tumble boys who tended to take out their aggression on each other. This event had a profound effect on young Desmond. He took to heart the sixth commandment, "Thou shalt not kill." And he came to believe that meant at any time or for any reason. That belief may have saved him from prison, because there were times when he wanted to and could have killed his dad. As Desmond grew into a young man, his faith in God grew as well. He was devoted to his church and to the strict observance of the Ten Commandments. During the Great Depression, Desmond worked to help support his family, eventually working at the Naval Shipyard in Newport News, Virginia. But on December 7th, 1941, everything changed. The Japanese sneak attack on Pearl Harbor stunned America. Millions of young American men responded to our declaration of war, and Desmond Thomas Doss was one of them. Now, he could have easily avoided the war. As a worker in a naval shipyard, his job was considered necessary for the war effort. He could have requested a deferment from military service, and we would have easily gotten it. He could have avoided the war by claiming conscientious objector status. His refusal to kill or to bear arms would have entitled him to do so. But Desmond volunteered. He wanted to do more for his country. He didn't consider himself personally a conscientious objector. He preferred to refer to himself as a conscientious cooperator. He wanted to serve his country. But because he refused to kill, he signed up in order to serve as a battlefield medic. Unfortunately, as sometimes happens in the military, he was assigned to an infantry rifle company. He was so slight of build, his drill sergeant called him Cornstalk. And that's where his troubles began.
This is a personal gift from the United States government to each and every one of you. A standard issue U.S. rifle, caliber 30, M1, a clip-fed, shoulder-fired, semi-automatic weapon designed to bring death and destruction to the enemy. This is to be your lover, your mistress, your concubine. Perhaps the only thing in life you'll ever truly love. Fellas, let's dance. Grab a girl. Don't point your gun forward. I do not want to be shot today. No matter how much you are tempted, place the weapon by your side. Pay attention. Problem, Private Cornstalk. Is there not one in your size? Or is it the color that is the issue?
No, sir. I was told I don't have to carry a weapon.
Come again. Step forward, Private. I can't be hearing this right.
Well, I'm sorry, Sergeant. I can't touch a gun.
His refusal to carry a gun caused a lot of trouble among his fellow soldiers and his commanding officers. They viewed him as a misfit, or even worse, a coward. How can you be a soldier without a weapon? Attempts were made to get rid of him. He was assigned the worst duties, endless KP, cleaning latrines. He was refused weekend passes. At one point, they attempted to have him declared mentally unfit for service, a Section 8. But military psychologists found that he wasn't crazy. He was simply living out his firmly held convictions. And sadly, some of the men in his unit employed another method to get him to quit. They felt he couldn't be trusted. I mean, how can he have their back in combat if he wouldn't kill the enemy? But Doss refused to quit. In fact, he refused to even identify the men who attacked him. Finally, a superior officer decided there was only one way to get rid of this misfit. Give him a direct order to handle a weapon. Because to disobey a direct order results in a court-martial. To no one's surprise, Doss remained true to his convictions and refused to handle a weapon. At his court-martial hearing, Doss explained why he believed it was so important for him to serve.
There is only one question that any military court need ask of the accused. Do you deny disobeying Colonel Sangston's direct orders?
Well, do you, Private?
No, sir, I don't.
Why are you contesting it, then? Why is it so important to you, given your refusal to even touch a weapon, to serve in a combat unit?
Because when the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor, I took it personal. Everyone I knew was on fire to join up, including me. There were two men in my hometown. Declared 4F unfit, they killed themselves because they couldn't serve. I had a job in a defense plant. I could have taken a deferment, but that ain't right. It isn't right that other men should fight and die, that I would just be sitting at home safe. I need to serve. I got the energy and the passion to serve as a medic. Right in the middle with the other guys, no less danger, just while everybody else is taking life, I'm going to be saving it. With the world so set on tearing itself apart, it doesn't seem like such a bad thing to me to want to put a little bit of it back together.
The court ultimately determined that Desmond was a conscientious objector, but that he could serve as a combat medic. Now, most combat medics carried a weapon, but Doss was not required to do so. Gradually, Doss's service as a medic began to change the attitudes of the men in his unit. They began to see him as a guy that they could count on to treat them and to ease their pain. Desmond served in 4 military operations in the Pacific Theater. He exhibited extraordinary dedication to the men in his unit. And while others were taking life, he risked his own life to save lives. When the cry "medic" rang out on the battlefield, Desmond ran toward the sound to treat his fellow comrades and drag them to safety. Now, medic work, you have to understand, was especially dangerous in the Pacific Theater. The Japanese targeted medics and the wounded. They believed that to show no mercy struck fear into the American soldier and would destroy their morale. So Desmond would not wear the typical helmet with the Red Cross emblem on it or the Red Cross armband. It was simply a target. In May 1945, the only remaining barrier between the Allied forces and Japan was the island of Okinawa. Taking that island would ultimately cost 8,000 American lives. Doss's division was assigned the task of capturing an area protected by an imposing sheer rock cliff that the soldiers called Hacksaw Ridge. Several other units had attempted to take the ridge, only to be repeatedly beaten back by the Japanese. Those Japanese troops had been ordered to fight to the death. An extensive network of underground tunnels protected them from bombardment, either from the air or from the sea. So there was only one solution: root them out. In some of the most vicious close-quarter fighting of World War II, Desmond's unit secured the top of the cliff. But they were shocked when Japanese troops came pouring up out of the ground in a suicidal counterattack. The Americans, overwhelmed, ordered an immediate retreat. Soldiers frantically rushed to climb back down the cliff, escape with your life. Hundreds of dead, dying, or wounded soldiers were left behind. Less than one-third of the men who climbed that cliff came back down. It is not clear if Desmond heard the order to retreat or if he just decided not to obey it. While others were tumbling down the rope as fast as they could go, Desmond was faced with a difficult choice. In the cries of those men, Desmond heard the voice of God. Wounded and dying men lay scattered across enemy-occupied territory. They were abandoned and left for dead. Japanese patrols combed the battlefield, finishing off those who were still breathing. But Desmond wouldn't quit. Desmond remained on the battlefield, searching for survivors, narrowly escaping Japanese patrols, dragging the wounded to safety, and lowering them off the ridge. And throughout the night, his constant prayer was one more, just one more. It is not known exactly how many men Doss saved that night. He estimated it at 50. His superior officers and the men in his unit claimed it was 100. When he was awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor for extraordinary courage under fire, they split the difference at 75. And to give you some idea of Desmond's heart, he even treated and lowered two wounded Japanese soldiers down off that ridge. Later, a grenade seriously wounded Doss's legs. Rather than call another medic from the safety of cover, he dressed his own wounds as best he could, and then he laid there for 5 hours waiting for somebody to retrieve him. As they carried him to safety, Desmond saw another man critically wounded. And he crawled off the stretcher and directed them to take the other man. As he waited for them to return, he was hit again, this time suffering a compound fracture of his upper arm. And he bound a rifle stock to his shattered arm as a splint and then crawled 300 yards to safety. In the process, he lost a pocket-sized Bible that had been a gift from his wife that he carried everywhere he went. It was a gift from the wife he had not seen in 2 years. Out of respect, his unit scoured the battlefield after the battle was over to find that Bible. Today, nearly 5,000 men and one woman have received the Congressional Medal of Honor. It's our nation's highest military honor. But only one recipient has ever been awarded this award while serving under conscientious objector status. put it in his own words, Doss was the unlikeliest hero of all. He died on March 23rd, 2006. And friends, when you and I think about a man like Doss, I think maybe in some ways a life like his expands or helps us rethink the meaning of heroism. You see, heroes come in all shapes and sizes. In war, many of them carry guns. You see, they've realized that freedom isn't free. It comes at an extremely high price. And it requires a willingness to serve and to sacrifice. But a guy like Desmond Doss also found a way to serve and to sacrifice in a manner that was consistent with his own personal beliefs. As he said at his court-martial hearing, it's not right that other men should fight and die so I could sit at home safe. I need to serve. And the men in his unit agreed that having Doss with them gave them confidence. Why? Because even the bravest soldier fears being left behind at the mercy of the enemy. And they knew Doss would not leave them behind. As a result of his injuries, Doss ultimately lost 5 ribs and one of his lungs. Now, friends, when we think about that word heroism, if it's your first time here at Good News Gathering, you've got a white sheet with holes punched on the side, and at the top of that outline is a box. And in that box, what I want you to think about is what it means, that word heroism. And as we think of heroism, think of it in terms not just of those that carry guns in war, those that would serve as Doss did, but what does heroism in the grand sense mean? And I think that it means this. Heroism is the display of character. I want to start there. Because character, when you think about character, it's a moral quality, an inner strength, a conviction that is held against all odds. Something that you will take bullets for. A hill you will die on. And heroism is the display of character, but then that next word is very important, and actions. You see, when you think about it, if character is not backed up by action, it is simply a word. That's all. But character, backed up by consistent action, that is the groundwork for heroism. A display of character and actions that manifest a courageous commitment to a higher purpose. And when you think of a higher purpose, you think of something that's greater than yourself. Something that goes beyond. Not just something that is higher, but also something that is noble. Noble. Something that's good. Something that's right. Something that's true. And also, to a love for others. You know, when you think about it, what motivated Desmond Doss was a love of his country. And then as time went on, a love of the men that he fought with and served. And you know, when I think about this definition of heroism, I think, as was mentioned earlier, of the ultimate hero, Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus understood heroism. He understood that idea of character backed up by actions. That's when you think about it, why did he come to earth? He came to earth because he loved us and he wanted to save us. And that's why those of us who call ourselves Christians feel such a strong call to action. In fact, I would dare to say that a Christian that does not feel a call to action may not be one. Now, friends, our focus verse for this particular lesson is 1 John 3:16. It's up here on your screens. Let's all recite it together. Here we go. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Think about what it's saying there. It said, you know, when we talk about heroism as something that involves a commitment to a higher purpose, to something noble, and to a love for others, that's what love is. It's the giving of ourselves to others. And friends, you know, when I think about it, you and I have the opportunity to be heroes. We do. Every one of us can be a hero. Now, you may never carry a gun. You may never serve as a combat medic. But you and I both have the opportunity to be heroes because we can serve. Now, let's talk about this for just a moment, how we can be heroes. First of all, I think in order for us to be a hero, we have to get it. We have to get it. And when you think about it, Doss got it. He understood there was something bigger than himself. He loved his country. He believed in what this country stood for, and he believed in the mission that the evil that we faced in World War II had to be addressed. It had to be faced. He got that. And you know, friends, when you and I as Christians get it, then we can be a powerful force in the world for good. And what is it that we have to get? John 3:16 tells it all. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Friends, as Christians, we must get that. That is our higher purpose. That is the noble endeavor that we are called to, and that is to tell the world about a God who loved them so much that whoever believes in his Son will not perish but have everlasting life. And friends, you know what? I have to admit, as much as it pains me, that there are times in my life when I have not looked at people around me with that in mind. I wonder what kind of difference I could have made if I looked at people that I come in contact with like Doss looked at those wounded soldiers. If I realized that the good news of Jesus Christ was like that rope that he used to lower people to safety. And I wonder what kind of difference I could make if every person I came in contact with, I looked at as somebody who was crying, medic. Medic. Friends, you know, one of the things I think that we do here at Good News Gathering that helps people get it is Class 101. That's coming up on June the 11th. And friends, I know sometimes we have people who come to us from other churches or other church backgrounds, and they look at class and they think, well, you know, I already understand Christianity. I don't really need that. But friends, I want you to understand something. It doesn't matter how long you've attended Good News Gathering. If you don't take Class 101, you don't truly understand who we are and why we do what we do. That's just the truth. And Class 101 is coming up on June the 11th, and you can mark your communication card on the back to sign up for that. But friends, Class 101 explains that higher purpose that you and I are called to and why this church does church the way it does. And you need to understand that if you're going to go here for very long. But let me say this, friends, because I think this is so true. If I can't think beyond myself, if there is no higher calling or no bigger purpose in my life, if I cannot think beyond myself and I only look out for number one, if that is the way I live my life, I will never be a hero. You won't. Because heroes think beyond themselves. Heroes look out for others, not just themselves. Heroes live bigger than themselves. Now, friends, there's a second aspect to this thing about being a hero, and I believe you and I can be heroes if we grow. We grow. You know, when I was looking at this movie about Doss and reading the books about him this week, one of the things that came through to me is, as harsh as this may sound, friends, I really wonder if he would have handled the demands of combat if he hadn't already stood up to all the challenges that he faced in boot camp and with the army and with his superiors and with other men in his unit until they understood him. As hard and as unfair and as undeserved as it was, could it be that many of those difficulties prepared him for the battlefield? And he grew in character and resolve and toughness. And friends, I'm telling you, you and I need to grow. We need to grow as Christian people. The Bible says it this way. Now, there are these gifts Christ gave to the church. The apostles, prophets, evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. In other words, their job, pastors and teachers, their job is not to do everything at the church. Their job is to equip God's people to do the work. You know, it's funny, friends, I've had people ask, how many ministers do you have at Good News Gathering? And I say about 500. Some Sunday mornings, about 650, 600, 700. Because I'm not the only minister here. People that are on staff are not the only ministers here. Our job is to equip the entire body of Jesus Christ to build up the church and to do the work. Why? Why is that important? Because then it says this. Then we will no longer be immature like children. Now think about that, friends. You know, when people can't get beyond themselves, when they have no sense of a bigger picture, when all they care about is looking out for number one, they are immature like children. That's what they are. And the Bible indicates that the purpose of the church, in part, is to grow people up so they act like men and women, not boys and girls. See, when we will no longer be immature like children, we won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, which is the goal, by the way, who is the head of his body, the church. Now, friends, for us, growth here at Good News Gathering, there's so many ways that you can grow here. The Class 201 that's coming up on June 25th kind of helps you develop spiritual disciplines. But there's another thing that's hugely important. This is coming up in July, and this is our life group summer semester. And friends, we're going to begin having sign-ups for that out in the atrium next Sunday. But if you're not familiar with a life group is just like a military unit. That's what it is. It's a small group of people that you do life with as a Christian. And friends, if you're not in one, I'm telling you, it is one of the most powerful ways for you to grow as a Christian. And if you don't know about that or you have questions about that, please mark the back of your communication card that you want more information about life groups, and somebody will get a hold of you this week to explain it. Now, if I want to be a hero, there's a third thing that's involved. That third thing goes like this: I give my life in sacrificial service to others. I give my life in sacrificial service. In other words, not just when it's easy, not just when it's convenient, not just when it's something comfortable for me, but we give our lives sacrificially to other people. Think about Doss, who risked his life to save his fellow soldiers, even though he's running across a battlefield with no firearm, just a medic. But he served. And the truth of the matter is, friends, we can't all serve in the same way because we're not the same. Just like Doss was not intended to carry a gun, others were. But he still found a way to serve. That's why Peter, the Apostle Peter, wrote, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. You see, we're all gifted differently, and that's okay. But we're all gifted by God to serve. Am I here to tell you, friends, a non-serving Christian is a contradiction in terms. Those two terms don't go together. He gives each of us something to bring to the table. And maybe you're one of those folks, you're thinking, well, I don't know exactly how I could serve. Friends, that's exactly what Class 301 is designed to do, is to help you discover how God has wired you up to serve, because there's tons of different ways to serve at this church. Serve with kids or out in the atrium with greeters or whatever. There's just a lot of different ways that you can serve. And if you want to know more about that, just mark your communication card. But friends, in addition to weekly ministry, as many of you know, we're pushing very hard having this church heavily involved in Hope Over Heroin. It's something that's plaguing our community. It is a fight we must take up. And you can sign up out in the atrium today to serve. And there's different ways you can serve there that will fit with who you are. But friends, don't let this battle be fought by other people. You see, this is one of those times when our community needs a rope. And people in our community need a church that will lower them to safety. Now, friends, the fourth thing is this. I can be a hero if I go into my world with the good news. You and I can be heroes as Christians if we go into our world with the good news of Jesus Christ. You think about it, it's interesting to me that Doss did not go into the military as a chaplain. You realize that? He went in as a medic. And yet his buddies, not his superior officer who called him Cornstalk, but you know what his buddies called him? Preacher. Preacher. He didn't have to preach a sermon. He didn't have to be the chaplain because they all knew how he lived his life. They watched him pray every day. They watched him read his Bible every day, and they knew what mattered to him most. And friends, I think the question you and I have to ask ourselves is this: if you and I are Christians, do the people around us know it? Not because we preach, not because we pick up a Bible and thump it at them, but because they watch us live one day at a time and they know exactly where we stand. Now, friends, the Apostle Paul wrote this: telling the good news is my duty, something I must do. And how terrible it will be for me if I do not tell the good news. And friends, if you've ever struggled with that idea, thinking, man, you know, I don't feel comfortable doing that, Class 401 that's coming up on July 23rd will help you figure out how you can tell other people friends, relatives, neighbors, about what Jesus has done for you and the impact he's made on your life in a way that's comfortable for you and for them. And coming up in July, we've got this thing called God on Film. And if you've not been to Good News Gathering in years past during July, it's a month where we set aside each service during that month to look at different movies that are out in the theater and how they have themes that lead us to think about God. And friends, this is a golden opportunity to invite people that you know who do not have a relationship with God. Now friends, when you think about Desmond Doss, and you think about the impact that he had, the difference that he made, remember that each one of us can be a hero in our own right. We can make a difference that's eternal in the lives of people. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Memorial Day. And Father, we thank you for all of those who have served and who have sacrificed for us so that we could meet here on a Sunday morning as free people to worship you as we see fit. And Father, we realize that there have been millions who have served. And we are so grateful for what they've done for us. Father, even more, we are grateful for what you did for us when you sent your Son to die on a cross for us. Help us, Father, to live lives of gratitude. And because we are grateful for what others have done for us, to live heroic lives. Lives of character and action. For this is our prayer in Christ's name. And we all agreed together and said, Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this lesson from Good News Gathering. For more information, visit www.goodnewsgathering.org or check us out on Facebook.